Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'd like to speak tonight on a promise that Jesus makes at the end of Matthew 11, and you can turn there. And in a while, we'll put the words up. It's simply, I will give you rest. That's what I really feel God put on my heart to talk about tonight as we do a little Bible study and close tonight. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The words of Jesus to we who follow him. I will give you rest. But first of all, let's have a little fun. And if you're listening by podcast, you will not figure out the next 2 or 3 minutes very easily, but please stick with us. I want to ask everybody in this auditorium, have you ever been this tired? And then show you a few pictures. Have you ever been this tired? Let's pull up the first picture. There's that monkey, straight up but sound asleep. Have you ever done that? That was me on the plane yesterday, straight up and sound asleep. Or this picture. That's what you call a wipeout. That cat's wiped out, man. Yeah. Or this next one. I mean, not even a leaping jump could do it. And this is amazing. Just plumb tuckered out, right? That's a great picture. And I like this next one. I always thought those keyboards looked comfortable, a little cushiony, right? And the final one. I mean, got that far, no farther. Just out, dead to the world, just out of it. I don't know if you've ever been that tired, but let's look at Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Matthew 11, 28 to 30 in the Message version. Are you tired, worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me. These are the words of Jesus. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's worth reading one more time. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out in religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Or in the New International Version that we generally use on Sunday mornings, those same verses, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think Peterson paraphrase this well when he put that question in, are you burnt out on religion? He was talking to people who had a pretty heavy hand placed on their life by organized religion. The Pharisees seems like they couldn't stop up thinking new rules, new ways. Jesus would sometimes rebuke them and say, you put heavy burdens on people, you guilt them, and yet you don't raise a finger to try to help them and lift that burden. And you know what? Man-made religion can be incredibly oppressive. Living under a constant pressure of, I've got to do more, I'm not doing enough. All of these things become incredibly burdensome things, not to mention what life does to wear us out. And so Jesus talks to us where we've all been. It's not a sin to be tired. It's not a sin to be weary or exhausted. Jesus was tired, we're told in Scripture. The Apostle Paul talked about being tired and hungry and cold and naked. He talks about being out in the deep, like shipwrecked, trying to survive, holding on to pieces of wood out in the ocean for a night and a day. He talks about getting whipped 39 times. He had that happen to him 5 times, plus beaten with rods on several occasions and thrown into dungeons and starved. And I mean, that guy got worn out too. It's not a sin to be worn out. It's not a sin to be tired. But we serve a God who's not indifferent to our tiredness. If you're worn out, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on just trying to do all the right things? Come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. For my burden, for my yoke is easy. You animals, work animals, have yokes, right? And there is a yoke upon us because God has a calling on all of our lives. And there are responsibilities he gives to us. And obedience to Jesus needs to be one of the passions of our lives. But he said it's not like what man-made religion will do. It's not even what all your false guilt might do to you and lay on you the burdens of that you carry. But he says, if you'll take on my yoke, it's almost like you can imagine the double yoke of two oxen. It's like he's yoked and we're yoked. He's working with us. And he said, my yoke is light and easy, and my burden is light. There's a place where you just don't walk under this oppressive anxiety that, oh, it's so hard to follow the Lord. But rather, he said, I'll give you rest for my burdens. If you're really walking in pace with me and if you'll come to me, I will give you rest. You can walk. Your body may be tired, but there's something so energizing about my presence and my grace that will lift you and carry you. I want to talk about three kinds of weariness. First of all, physical exhaustion. Physical exhaustion is one we do have to be careful about. I've noticed that the symptoms of physical exhaustion are similar to the symptoms of spiritual warfare. In fact, you feel on edge, you feel discouraged, you start believing all kinds of lies, you feel powerless against temptation sometimes. I mean, when you're just exhausted, when you've got nothing to marshal in the fight, I mean, physical exhaustion can take a real toll on you. And the enemy, in fact, exploits physical exhaustion. And sometimes the symptoms are similar. Sometimes people, you know, when you're in spiritual warfare and you just want to give up, I mean, sometimes I say, would you just get a few good nights sleep, first of all, just before you make any decisions about your life or your calling or whether you're going to stay faithful to Jesus, why don't you just take a few days off and get a few good nights sleep? And it's amazing how different the whole world looks when you get some rest. Our bodies are not independent of everything else in us. We're all hardwired, our bodies, our emotions, and that can then even affect how we engage the spiritual realm. And this is why the Lord talks to us about taking a day off, a Sabbath, at one day in seven. My wife's pretty adamant about this. She's my police for this, because I don't some days and some weeks, but this is a wonderful, it's like a principle that's embedded into nature. If you want to walk in pace with Jesus, you will walk in pace with a one day in seven where you break away from your normal routine and you allow yourself to rest. You don't have to be passive that day. You don't have to be bored all day. Just do things that rejuvenate you emotionally, that rejuvenate you physically. Take a nap in the middle of the day without any guilt. Take, go. I tell you what rejuvenates my wife, walking through decorator stores. She it says it just refills my emotional tank. Now, walking through a decorator store, I do that with her now and then because I love her. But it's a sacrifice because walking through decorator stores depletes me emotionally, doesn't energize me emotionally. You need to do what energizes you emotionally. Some of us, you know, we may be in physical shape and we may be doing great spiritually, but we've let our emotional tank get really, really low. And this is why a day off is so very, very important, just to monitor your exhaustion levels. You know, you do need something. You may be, and all of us, I mean, sometimes God wakes us up in the middle of the night to pray and we get behind on sleep, but you can't live long-term like that. You've got to find a pace, whatever it takes, to avoid physical exhaustion. That's very important. So physical exhaustion. Secondly is mental weariness. A lot of weariness happens between our ears, and it's mental weariness. You probably felt this last Wednesday night when I was talking about faith and science and wonder. We'll pick that series up after our worship night. We just thought we need to take a break, right? But there are times where I go, don't tell me another fact, because my mind can't handle it. We just get weary in our minds. But mental weariness, even more than just more facts than we can handle. We live with a lot of mental myths that wear us out all the time. And Jesus has come to tell us the truth. But here, you know, I was thinking about the things mentally that wear me out. And I sat down a while back and I just wrote these down. And there are four different kinds of thinking that I would put in the category of mental myths that don't energize you because they take you away from God's truth for your life. First of all is what I call performance-driven thinking. And that carries with it the lie that I am what I do. Oh, really? So what are you when you retire? And what are you when you get laid off your job? Or what are you on your day off when you try not to do a lot of your regular other 6 days of work? You know, this is one of the main reasons that many men hit midlife crisis. Studies have shown two things. Number one, they haven't cultivated many close friendships. And number two, too much of their identity is tied into their work. You know what? You are more than what you do. Don't live that out. Otherwise, you're going to feel driven. And that feeling of drivenness, it just never leaves you. It just keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. And it just wears you out. You're called, but you're not driven. God calls you and leads you, but he doesn't drive you and push you. But we do that to ourselves because we think if I'm not busy, if I don't perform, then I don't have value as a human being. How be you're created in the image of God, therefore you've got value as a human being. How be he loves you with an everlasting love. How be I get to obey him and walk in his presence. I get to praise him and worship him. It's not what you do. It's who you are. Alive with the God who created you in his image. That's awesome stuff. But if that's not enough performance-driven thinking, it's perfection-based thinking. Because perfection-based thinking not only says, I am what I do, it adds this layer, this tormenting layer, and what I do must be perfect. Phew. Now, my wife is a self-confessed perfectionist. Always interesting living with a perfectionist. I learned how to do it because we tend to project our perfectionism on others, right? So that really helped me improve, actually. I'm grateful for that. But you perfectionists can make it interesting for other people who are trying to be close to you. But you do even a worse number on yourself. My wife will say, she said, Jim, I hate being a perfectionist. She said, because everything's either all good or all bad. There's nothing in the middle. And you just keep just, and sometimes because you're afraid you can't do it perfectly, you procrastinate, and you don't even start in the first place. I had a friend when I was a student. He had such a perfectionistic trait that sometimes he'd just freeze up and he wouldn't even be able to make himself go to classes. He'd just be so afraid that he'd not do things perfectly and he might fail and all of these things. These things can just wear you out. I was reading a number of years ago, a Christian counselor and writer, her name is Paula Reinhart. She said she was really pushing exhaustion and she said one evening I was sitting out on the porch with my husband in a rocking chair. And just we had one of those rare times just to sit and be quiet and talk for a few minutes. And the sun was setting. And she said, all of a sudden, and she said, it shocked me when the words came out of my mouth. Out of my mouth came the words, I wonder why Jesus makes it so hard to follow him. She said, I knew that was the alarm bell for me, that something not right was happening inside of me. She said, those words, I mean, unpremeditated, just came out of my mouth. Why does Jesus make it so hard to follow him? She said, that launched me on a multi-month journey to really deal with some of my physical exhaustion and really try to figure out how I was just getting my thinking all wrong. And she made this amazing comment. She said, out of that whole journey, I realized that my inner critic was not always the voice of God. I realized that my inner critic was not always the voice of God. And you're probably your own worst enemy. I know I'm my own worst. I've had some people say some critical things to me, but it doesn't top the critical things I've said to me. And you can be your own worst enemy, but that is not necessarily the voice of the Holy Spirit. Those can be accusing, demonic voices, or just the fruit of your own exhaustion. And it just says, I'm never good enough, and whatever I do, it has to be perfect. People-pleasing thinking, that'll wear you out too. Or almost there's never a decision you make all week. I mean, look back at this past week. How many decisions did you make without factoring in? Well, I wonder what people are going to think of me. And that can exhaust you. And of course, you got to be careful. You don't want to hurt people. You don't want to offend people. As a husband, I want to meet my, you know, I want to be the husband I ought to be. And as a friend, I want to be the friend I ought to be. As a leader, I want to be the leader I ought to be. And I don't want to let people down. I don't want to let my team down. I mean, that's all good stuff. But sometimes we cross and it gets far too far where we're just constantly worrying about what people are thinking about us, even though they're probably not thinking about you as much as you think they're thinking about you. You've heard me say that before, but people-pleasing thinking is really tough. In John chapter 12, I didn't put this on the screen, but there's a really cutting commentary by John. He starts noticing that a lot of the leaders in Jerusalem were starting to believe in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. They loved human praise more than praise from God. And I want to tell you, it's one thing to say, God, I want to please you with every moment of my life. And he gives you the strength of his spirit. He said, that yoke is light. But you live with the yoke of needing to please people more than you please God. And what people think makes all your decisions for you. It's going to wear you out. This is mental weary. This is stuff that happens in our heads that just gives place to myths and lies. The last one's problem-centered thinking, as if this list isn't long enough. This is the last one. This wears me out. I mean, problem-centered thinking, where just all I do is focus on the problems all the time. And there's lots to focus on, folks. You don't have to work hard to find problems. But if we're people of faith, we discipline our minds. When I find my mind going that way, I just have to capture my mind. Sometimes I just start praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. I have to just start praising and worshiping the Lord and quoting Scripture. I mean, we need to be tough with our minds here because this stuff wears us out. If you just walk, you're just under the weather all the time, under the load of all the problems around you, you become victim of problems. God wants you a victor, not a victim. And you know what? You can face all these problems, but they don't need to wear you down all the time because we serve a God who outdimensions the size of every problem we face. And he who began a good work in us, he's going to finish it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And especially those of you who do a lot of caregiving. And I know my wife will talk to people on the phone by hours sometimes and just among the most intractable problems. And I pray for her. I say, Lord, don't let her get under the dominion of all these problems. Let her keep be a life giver. Let her keep praying for people with faith and speaking life. But I've had to do that as a pastor as well. Lord, help me to be aware of problems. Help me to be sensitive to problems. Help me to walk with people who have problems. But don't let me come under the dominion of those things. Because you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. There's got to be something real about that, that he carries the burdens of these. I'm not problem-centered. I'm Jesus-centered. At least that's what I'm trying to be. I'm not problem-centered. I'm the power of God-centered. I'm not problem-centered. I'm faith-centered. I'm not problem-centered and negative-centered. I'm truth-centered as an overcomer in Christ. No matter how I feel, you don't live. You live, you think theologically. You don't think emotionally about your life. And these things, you know, when you feel just performance-drivenness, perfection-based thinking, people-pleasing thinking, problem-centered thinking, the list could probably be a lot longer. Those were the only four I came up with in the time I had to do that. But it's an awesome thing to know that God gives us victory. He said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? That he can renew our minds. And our minds affect how, what we think affects how we feel. It affects so many things. It's what will make place, give place to the lie, and therefore give place to the demonic powers, or give place to the truth and give place to the Spirit of God. Our minds are part of this. So take care of your body. Try to avoid physical exhaustion and walk in the renewing of your mind to try to avoid these mental myths that just wear us down, making us driven and too perfectionistic and too people-pleasing and too problem-centered. The last one I want to talk about is spiritual tiredness, because I believe some of our weariness is spiritual. I've been weary sometimes, and I've taken a nap, and I just still feel weary. I've been weary, and I've been to an inspiring service, and, you know, I'm thinking the right things. I'm not going down the path of those mental myths, but, you know, just fear weary. When sometimes when nothing else seems to help, then you get hungry, right? So you go to the refrigerator, bad, you know, and you think, and then you eat something, that doesn't help. Because there is a longing, there's a weariness deep in our spirit that just longs for the presence of God. And sometimes our weariness is not physical, it's not even mental in its causes. It's just we need Him. And that's why I love what Jesus said. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I will give you rest. And He begins that whole passage by saying, come to me. Just come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Now, I don't often read something at length. I'm going to read something that'll be more than just a few sentences. And it's kind of a living parable. And it's entitled, A Request for Transfer to the Commander and Chief of the Spiritual Armed Forces, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I'm writing this to you to request a transfer to a desk job. I herewith present my reasons. I began my career as a private. Because of the intensity of the battle, you have quickly moved me up in the ranks. You've made me an officer and given me a tremendous amount of responsibility. There are many soldiers and recruits under my charge. I'm constantly being called on to dispense wisdom, make judgments, and find solutions to complex problems. You have placed me in a position to function as an officer when in my heart, I know that I only have the skills of a private. I realize that you have promised to supply all I would need for the battle, but sir, I must present to you a realistic picture of my equipment. My uniform, once so crisp and starched, is now stained with tears and blood, the blood of those I've tried to assist. The soles of my boots are cracked and worn from the miles I've walked trying to enlist and encourage the enlisted troops. My weapons are marred. They're tarnished and chipped from constant battle against the enemy. Even the book of regulations that you issued me has been torn and tattered from endless use. The words are now smeared. You have promised you would be with me throughout. But when the noise of the battle is so loud and the confusion is so great, I can neither see nor hear you. I feel so alone. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I have battle fatigue. And I would never ask you for a discharge. I love being in your service, but I humbly request a demotion and a transfer. I'll file papers or clean latrines. Just get me out of the battle, please, sir. You're faithful, but tired. Warrior. And the response came from the commander-in-chief. Dear soldier, your request for transfer has been denied. I herewith present my reasons. You are needed in this battle. I've selected you, and I will keep my word to supply your need. You do not need a demotion or a transfer, and you would never cut it on latrine duty. You need a period of R&R, renewal and rekindling. And I am setting aside a place on the battlefield that is insulated from all sound and fully protected from the enemy. I will meet you there, and I will give you rest. I'll remove your old equipment and make all things new. You've been wounded in the battle, my soldier. Your wounds are not visible, but you have received grave internal injuries. You need to be healed. I will heal you. You've been weakened in the battle. You need to be strengthened. I will strengthen you and be your strength. I will instill in you confidence and ability. My words will rekindle within you a renewed love and zeal and enthusiasm. So report to me, tattered and empty, and I will refill you. Compassionately, your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ.